Today's episode is brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
They're called open restaurants, establishments that have reopened for limited indoor dining in defiance of the governor's continuing coronavirus orders, which currently allow only to-go orders and outdoor seating for most bars and eateries. Because of the risk of fines and other penalties which Governor Kate Brown has vowed to impose, the existence of such businesses is a closely guarded secret, usually shared through whispered word of mouth. But for the most part, these are not wild-eyed radicals who thumb their noses at Brown and public health guidelines or declare that COVID-19 is a hoax. They are independent, community-minded, small business owners and employers who are just trying to survive. Such is the case for three Clackamas County restaurants, the Carver Hangar, Eagle Creek Saloon, and Redland Cafe, who confirmed their early reopening this week on Facebook and even allowed Fox 12 camera crew to come have a look. We know OSHA will come and fine us and move to close our doors, Brian Mitchell, owner of all three restaurants, said in the Facebook post, but we can no longer stand by and watch our employees that have become our extended family suffer. Mitchell, who became emotional while talking to Fox News, said he has 85 employees between the three locations and feels responsible for offering them the opportunity to provide for their families. All three restaurants and bars are located in more rural parts of Clackamas County where other job opportunities may be limited, especially in the current economic climate. The three establishments are following the strict protocols of the high-risk tier of the governor's coronavirus matrix, which require restaurants to practice rigorous disinfection techniques, social distancing, and mask wearing, and to reduce occupancy to only 25%. Still, in a statement last week, Brown showed little patience for businesses who feel they have no choice but to defy her guidelines to survive in the expected lean months ahead. If businesses reopen too early and instead create new spikes in COVID-19 cases, the actions of a few business owners could set an entire community back and keep them in the extreme risk category for even longer, Brown warned. But on Facebook, hundreds of residents hailed Mitchell's decision and promised to support his restaurant and employees. "The best news that I have heard for the last 10 months," one man said. "As long as Kate Brown receives a paycheck, so should all restaurant workers and owners. There is not a good reason to curtail individual liberties merely because some person thinks that it is required. We went to Eagle Creek last night for a sit-down steak dinner and an extra helping of freedom," agreed another commentator on the Canby Current Facebook page. "Great place, food, and especially servers." One day after the outgoing chair of the Clackamas County Board of Commissioners criticized local mayors and businesses who had intimidated their plans to reopen early, the new chair made clear where she stands on the state's restrictive approach to the coronavirus pandemic. Tootie Smith, who defended Jim Bernard in May primary and will soon return to the commission after a four-year absence, spoke at a rally before the Oregon State Capitol on New Year's Day, blasting Governor Kate Brown for her pandemic executive orders. More specifically, Smith took issue with the governor's statement the day before, threatening fines, suspensions, and other penalties for businesses and communities that rapidly defy the state's COVID-19 mandates. A course of action she described as Gestapo-like.
Let me be clear. Governor Brown has no authority over me or any other elected official in I stand for freedom. Smart health programs that heal and allowing people to make intelligent decisions. Yes. These supposed progressive COVID laws that were designed to save us have turned into regressive mandates, taking our communities, counties, and cities backwards.
Smith, who made national headlines in November with her stated plans to host as large a Thanksgiving gathering as possible, argued that there are more effective means of managing the coronavirus and other infectious diseases, which she claims state leaders are ignoring and simply hoping that the bugs will magically go away.
We can manage COVID better that will allow businesses, public schools, and governments to open. Many doctors and scientists tell me our understanding of the virus has grown, yet Oregon's policies don't show that. A vaccination is on the horizon. But when? Who will get it?
Not me! Not me!
And the choice should be ours.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't go with...
Smith advocated the use of high-efficiency particulate air filters and germicidal ultraviolet lights to curb the pandemic, similar to those adopted by hospitals and airlines, which have remained relatively outbreak-free despite crowding large numbers of people into closed quarters for hours at a time. She said people should have a choice as to whether to take the vaccine. It is currently voluntary, and seemed to imply that simply letting the virus run its course would work just as well.
We still need herd immunity for it to work, and that means getting out there. COVID has a 99% survival rate. Instead, the government leaders tell us just the opposite, and fear is driving the bus. Don't let the government lie to you.
Yes!
Speak your truth.
The rally at the state capitol was organized by Oregon Women for Trump and included participants claiming affiliation with the Proud Boys, according to reporters on the scene. Joey Gibson, a right-wing activist and founder of Patriot Prayer, spoke at the event before Smith took the mic. Both drivers were injured in what responding deputies referred to as a horrific drunken driving crash near the intersection of Barlow and Lone Elder Roads, southwest of Canby. The crash on Tuesday, December 29th, involved a white Ford pickup and Jeep, the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office reported on social media. The driver of the Ford, identified by police as Pavel Mordvinov, allegedly had a blood alcohol concentration of 0.402, more than five times the legal limit in Oregon, which is 0.08. According to the U.S. National Library of Medicine, a person with a BAC in excess of 0.40 would be severely impaired and at risk for unconsciousness, a coma, or even death from an alcohol-induced shutdown of their breathing or circulation. Both Mordinov and the driver of the Jeep, whom police did not identify in the post, were transported to Oregon Health and Science University with traumatic injuries. Don't drink and drive, the CCSO pleaded in a Facebook post on New Year's Eve. Mordvinov has a long history of traffic violations going back over 20 years, including speeding, reckless driving, and failure to obey traffic control device. But this would be his first DUI charge, according to online court records.
To David 100.
To David 100.
Yes, I want to thank all of our amazing dispatchers for watching over our deputies and keeping them safe over the years. Also, my thanks to all the men and women of the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office for absolutely the amazing work each of you do every single day. God bless all of you. Please take care of each other. And I'll be 10-7.
Sheriff signs off. With those words, spoken into a police radio at 5:47 p.m. December 31st, Sheriff Craig Roberts officially retired from public service, capping a more than 40-year career with the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office that began as a reserve deputy in 1979. 10-7. One of the shorthands of law enforcement communication known as 10 codes means out of service or off the air. In the video, which the sheriff's office posted on social media on New Year's Eve, Roberts first thanks dispatchers for their work in keeping patrol deputies and personnel safe all these years. This dispatcher then thanked Roberts for his leadership and dedicated service to the county and wished him the best in his retirement. With new adventures, time with his family, and a chance for improving his running time. Well, that wasn't easy, Roberts said with a laugh at the end of the video. Roberts' distinguished career includes four terms, 16 years as elected sheriff, having first taken office in January 14, 2005. He declined to seek a fifth during the most recent election, setting the stage for a race between four hopefuls, including three of his current or former employees. That was ultimately won by Undersheriff Angela Brandenburg. To see the full video and see a statement from Roberts reflecting on his long and distinguished career in law enforcement, find this story on our website, canbefirst.com. It's been billed as the biggest and most extreme talent competition of all time, and two Canby residents are about to be right in the thick of it. Aiming to be the biggest show of 2021, the Go Big Show on TBS brings together an astonishing variety of jaw-dropping acts, from giant ramp jumpers, horse trick riders, and incredible feats of strength, to alligator and rattlesnake wrestlers, stunt archers, and world record holders. Comedian Bert Kreischer hosts with celebrity judges Snoop Dogg, Rosario Dawson, Jennifer Nettles, and Cody Rhodes, who ultimately decide who will be sent home or stay to compete for the $100,000 grand prize. On the big stage to show their best stuff will be Canby businessman and illusionist Scott Anderson, along with his 10-year-old daughter Haley. The duo will perform in the show's premiere episode on January 7th. Anderson is a 22-year-old veteran Army pilot and medic who served in multiple tours in Iraq and Afghanistan and learned magic to connect with wounded children in the military hospitals who didn't understand his language. In addition to his own large-scale magic shows, he has performed on the Las Vegas Strip as well as in Canby for charitable purposes. Anderson has previously appeared on America's Got Talent and Wizard Wars with Penn and Teller, and it was through these that he landed on the radar of a casting director for TBS. The network called in August, he said, to ask if he would like to be on the show. Though he had appeared on big budget reality shows before, he knew this production would be different for a variety of reasons. As Anderson would quickly learn, the show went big, not just with its entertainment and production values, but also with the pandemic protocols. The network took the coronavirus very seriously, and all efforts were made to keep the cast and crew safe and healthy. While this was definitely the most fun production I've been a part of, it was also the most intensive, Anderson told Now Hear This Canby. We had to take a COVID test to get out there, then quarantine in our rooms. Then once we started shooting, we had to take 3 brain-tickling COVID tests a week. The studio rented out a Georgia hotel for all those involved in the show who were expected to stay inside the quarantine bubble anytime they weren't needed for filming at the McCann Coliseum, a premier athletic and entertainment venue that can normally seat as many as 10,000, but in this case would hold just a few. Because the cast and crew were all sequestered together, they became good friends, Anderson said, and that made a big impact on both him and his daughter. Whether or not they always come through in our final cut is anybody's guess, though as Anderson admits, a little friendly trash talking was encouraged when the cameras were on. But backstage, the camaraderie was in full view, and this made an impact on both Anderson and his daughter. She told me, "I lost the title of world's greatest hugger to Cody Rhodes, so that was quite devastating," he said with a laugh. She was starstruck, and it was fun to watch. The celebrity judges were so kind to her. Winning really wasn't the goal, Anderson says. "I didn't really care if I won or lost," he said. "Advancing on shows like this is really a coin toss. You just do them because it's fun, and getting to hang out with celebrities is actually pretty cool most of the time." It opened a door for this fun and entirely different world of celebrity and entertainment that I get to play in every once in a while. And now I get to share that with my daughter. For more coverage, see our website, canbefirst.com.
B14068N7040.
Hey, Frankie, what are you doing?
Well, I was trying to win this direct link pattern bingo game. That Hallmark gift basket is as good as mine.
Direct link bingo game?
You bet. Our local internet provider is hosting a virtual bingo game to show appreciation for their members. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, super cool. Who does that?
Direct link does. They miss seeing their members during these difficult times and wanted to offer a fun way to stay engaged and win some sweet prizes.
They really do work hard to embody that cooperative spirit, don't they?
Well, October is cooperative month, and DirectLink is a cooperative that was started back in 1904 by local farmers, so bingo kind of makes sense. They are one of roughly 260 remaining communications co-ops in the U.S. who provide connections over 40% of the land so that more than 50 million rural Americans have the technology that they need to thrive.
Well, that's pretty unique. So how does bingo work?
DirectLink members were mailed a bingo card at the beginning of September. Simply visit directlink.coop/bingo or DirectLink Facebook page every weekday to get that day's bingo number and cross it off your card. They're playing 4 different simultaneous games, with the blackout prize being a 4-pack of tickets to a 2021 Mariners game.
Okay, wow. Get out of my way. I gotta go get my card right now.
Good luck, you know, on everything except that Hallmark basket, because, like I said, that's mine. All right, joining us on the Canby Conversation today, our first interview of 2021, we're joined by Victoria Meinig. She's the CEO of the Oregon City Chamber of Commerce. Hi, Victoria.
Good morning. Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm
happy good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And we also have Matthew Broderick. He is with Jolly Good Media in Oregon City and also involved with the Business Recovery Center effort, which we're going to be talking about. Hi, Matt.
Hi. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And Matt, you're just a local boy, right? From right here in Oregon City, Canby?
Right here in Oregon City. That is where the accent comes from, yes.
That accent is a dead giveaway. Well, welcome to you both. Victoria, why don't we start with you and tell us just a little bit about the Business Recovery Center effort for the county.
So this Business Recovery Center started, so I guess we'll get started. We started talking about it in September. This is something that Washington County has already done. As you know how funding happened, Washington County received their funds about 6 months prior. And so they got this up and started, and Clackamas County decided that this was a great model and that they wanted to do it as well.
The funding, I don't mean to interrupt, the funding came from the CARES Act, is that right?
Yes. Okay. So it's CARES Act money. So Clackamas County did not receive their CARES Act money as quickly as Washington County did. So there's the difference in there. And so we were able to get this started a little bit later than what we had hoped, but we were able to kick it off with seven chambers, but six all together as a group. So it's Oregon City, North Clackamas, Canby, Wilsonville, Westland, Sandy, and Lake Oswego. And then Westland and Lake Oswego have actually partnered together to do theirs. So in hopes to be able to reach the most amount of businesses across our county, it's kind of how we sorted and separated through that.
And what is the purpose of the Business Recovery Center? Tell us a little bit about some of the work that they do. I know there's tons of services that they can offer.
Yeah, so the Business Recovery Center's purpose is to help all businesses in our county receive assistance, whether it's financial assistance, legal assistance, marketing, basically coming to our businesses and saying, what do you need? And we're looking for most businesses 100 employees and fewer, but we really want to help get them into some of the services that, again, this CARES Act money can provide. So a lot of training in different areas, but it's us going to them and saying, what do you need? Because we don't want to make an assumption that we know exactly what they always need. Some of it, it's pretty basic. We know that, you know, they need accounting assistance, you know, they need marketing assistance, things like that. But it's really, what else do you need and how else can we help you?
Right. Because each business is unique and kind of their situation is unique. And I appreciate you guys taking that bespoke approach a little bit and not just, well, here's the help. We have, you know, size A or size B, take your pick. So maybe both of you can speak to this a little bit. You know, I think no one, except maybe someone who's been living under a rock, is unaware of the challenges that are facing a lot of our local businesses after the year that we just had. Obviously, it was a challenging holiday season, which is normally a really good time for restaurants and stores and whatnot. And heading into what is normally a really tough time, even in normal years, right? The first 3 months of the year. I think that's sort of the general awareness, but can you tell us maybe a little more targeted or a little more informed, I guess, of, the current challenges facing a lot of our local businesses?
So currently, as you mentioned, normally the holiday season carries them into those the lulls of January and February. Right now, because everybody has struggled and they've been hanging on through this time, it is going to be much more difficult for January and February. So I think we're going to see more of those businesses that were barely hanging on. They may not make it through January and February, which is a little bit, it's difficult. It's very difficult to think about that. So our hope is that we can, you know, steer them towards some grants and help them get approved for those grants and help them get approved for some funding to keep them going. They've been resilient. They've been creative. They've reimagined things where they've never, you know, would have thought to. It's just supporting them and helping them to continue. It's like there is a light on the other side of this tunnel. There really is. We just have to get there.
We were trying to help businesses. We're trying to help them with a lot and connect them with as many resources as they need individually as a business. But most of them, I would say, need access to money, access to grants, help. And a lot of the time it's actually help in filling out these grants. See, that there was a lot of opportunities and there are still some opportunities. But a lot of people haven't really filled out these long, complicated forms before. A lot of these businesses haven't got things like profit and loss statements or some things that other businesses have. So I've had to come very, very quickly into learning a lot of these things just to have access to the money. And that's one of the biggest things we've been helping out with, just helping people to fill out forms, basically, or just kind of like letting them know what opportunities are available. But also pivoting. I think a lot of businesses know that they need to be doing something differently, whether it's just kind of taking their business online for the first time or learning how to offer curbside pickup for the first time. And just sometimes it's not even us telling them how to do it, but just kind of being a guiding voice on the phone as they figure it out themselves. So that it's just a lot of learning. And yeah, humans don't really like learning, do they?
No, but we've had to do a lot of it lately, so I think we're getting used to it. You guys, as you, especially you, Victoria, describing your role, it's reminding me a little bit of a first responder on the scene to an accident. Do you feel that way at all? I mean, and do you have ways to sort of find those most in immediate need, either through referrals or just like your own connections to kind of go after them first to help them?
Yes. So it has been like in first responder mode. So as you know, when COVID first hit, none of us had planned for this. So literally it was information overload, learning how to sort and vet the information and get it out to our members as quickly as possible. And being able to say, okay, this, you know, yes, this is confusing, but here are the first three steps. Here we go. So yeah, it's a lot of triage through this. We are blessed because we have members who are open. You know, we try to provide them through our networking and having relationships with them to ask them those questions. And they're willing to give us the information to tell us. So when we opened the BRC, we knew that we had some people all automatically that we were going to call them and say, hey, we now are able to do this for you. Let's get you on board and connected. But the wonderful thing about the BRC is it opened it up for everybody. It wasn't just our chamber members. And so we were gleaning through lists and lists of you know, businesses that had licenses, businesses that were somewhere, you know, connected to something. And we just literally started calling as fast as we could. How can we help you? How can we help you? You know, we know that there are so many more. Again, we have a lot of businesses that were so focused on doing the work that they haven't had time to even call us back yet and tell us where they're at. But at least we got the process started, and that was what was super important. And we're getting the information out because there are those folks that either they're in an incorporated areas, or they have a company that doesn't need a license currently. How we that need to reach out to them and find them and say, hey, we have this assistance for you.
I think it was a really good idea to leave this in the hands of chambers of commerce as well, because the chambers already had these infrastructures set up where we had connections with the business community. So they trusted us, but also inroads in who needs it the most and lists of businesses to get out to as well. But there's still been a lot of challenge in trying to find business details find, you know, the missing businesses that we need to get support for. Because it's usually the ones that aren't on the list immediately that need the most help. The people that need our help aren't the ones that signed up for Google My Business accounts, you know? So finding those ones has been, but I think it's been going to be really good going forwards after this, because we'll have even more of an infrastructure to be able to funnel support to businesses as well. So we've just been able to build out that infrastructure just a little bit better.
Yeah, maybe that's a good way to identify the ones most in need of help. Is just a one question quiz. Do you know what a Google My Business account is? Yes or no? The ones that say no, go to the top of the list. Maybe this might be a little harder to talk about, but I'm really curious, and you guys as local business people and involved in the chamber are uniquely situated. Folks that are kind of more outside the business community, you know, obviously business and economy is a lot of dollars and cents, you know, it's math problems and it's a little colder, but you guys really feel the relationships of these struggling business owners facing challenges that are no fault of their own, you know, trying to struggle with these ever-changing guidelines or seemingly ever-changing guidelines for different sectors. Oh, am I a store or am I a coffee shop? Because I do both. Can you speak a little bit to that and just maybe how you feel trying to, you know, talk to those folks, maybe share a story without sharing names or whatnot, but just what that has been like a little bit over these challenging few months?
When we first started this project, we were lucky because Washington County had already done it before. So they had a call with us where they talked us through some of the challenges that they'd faced to prepare us a little bit more. And the thing that they emphasized is that you're going to be on the phone with these businesses, and these businesses have been through such hardship and they're going to tell you all about it. There's going to be a lot of sub stories, and one of the best things that we can do is just stop and listen to them and let them get their story out and make them, you know that they are heard and that we are there for them. It's not even about us being there for them. It's just about them being heard and letting them tell their story to someone as well.
Validating that a little bit, right? I mean, like, it's what that pain and that struggle that you're feeling, like, okay, my daughter's done with breakfast.
An independent business owner, a lot of the time there's no one really you can talk to about these things. You can talk to your family, of course, and maybe your coworkers, but having someone on the phone to be able to tell that story to is, I think, very powerful as well.
Yeah. So initially when COVID began, that it was the relationships that really assisted us the most, because, you know, I had one of my businesses, she had all of those questions, you know, am I considered this? Am I considered that? Well, I know how to do protocol. So she, you know, she'd say, I know how to put this in place. I know how to do this. Can't I do this? And that not always having that answer, me saying, okay, let me go back and let me again vet through that information and try to figure out, is that where you fit? But it was also that call of, hey, did you apply for that grant? Did you, you know, I know you're overwhelmed, but I need you to, did you get that grant done? Did you get that, you know, did you get this done? And there were times when she'd be like, you know, thank you for calling me, because today was the day that I thought I was going to, you know, spend the whole day under my desk. It's like, nope, come on out. I'm here. I'll help you, you know, ask me those questions. I'll go look as much as I can. And now, you know, I love it. You know, she'll call and she'll say, thank you. Because of you, I did these steps. Because of you, now I'm prepped for this step now, you know, and sometimes it's just that phone call saying, hey, how are you? You know, are we in line? Did you need more information? And so that having the BRC gives us that ability to have the employees to continue and help to do those kinds of things. Because, you know, our chambers of commerce are very small, and we needed those additional dollars, and we needed the additional support to be able to hire more employees to help do this so that we can continue that kind of relationship with these businesses and help them in that format.
Most businesses, they don't need like a golden savior. They don't want someone to like come down and, take their business away from them. They want to be able to help their own business. So we guide them through that.
That's great. That's awesome. On a little more encouraging note, I wonder if something of a silver lining, at least something that we've seen in Canby, is a lot of buy-in from the community. Right. And I'm sure you've seen the same in Oregon City. All those years of the buy local campaigns and whatnot must be a little encouraging. Oh, people were listening after all. Right. Because I do see in Canby a lot of people that are there, you know, wanting to save their dollars, you know, not for the big corporate stores, but try and support our local businesses and keep our downtowns and our main streets alive. Have you seen that as well? And it really seems like they're ready, and you're kind of helping to fulfill that role of connecting. Here's how you can help local businesses. Yeah.
So that, you know, our buy local, save local has been huge. We are fortunate that we live in a wonderful town that's very supportive of each other. And yeah, you know, most of the time you would not have ordered takeout that much in a month, but you know what? They're going to do that. They're going to, you know, you're buying a gift card, and you're, you know, you understand that you're buying that gift card to that retail shop that may not make it, but you're okay with that, you know. And we've seen that everywhere. It's that everybody taking care of each other, and so that we can make sure that everyone at least gets that extra push. So we're blessed, you know. We call it giving these businesses some chamber love. Let's crush on them, you know, and let's, you know, tout how well they're doing. Let's, you know, make sure that they have, they know that they're being supported.
And there is also other silver linings, these businesses that are learning to pivot, that are gaining these new skills and that are finding new ways to deliver their services to people are going to be in a much better position when this pandemic ends to compete with the big boxes like Amazon and things like this. So for some, and this is a silver lining to obviously a very terrible situation, but some are jumpstarting their businesses in a way that I feel in a couple of years will really benefit them.
Yeah, I think we've even seen that in other sectors, is, you know, as a silver lining, and not necessarily this is the way we wish it would have happened. But in some ways we've seen, you know, we should have been doing this all along, you know, streaming services for churches, for example, you know, things like that. And this sort of forced us to finally, you know, do that. Maybe a nicer way to make that happen would have been nice, but at least it happened. So
streaming services for churches is a great example of that. Yeah,
we're moving forward. Okay, well, we've now moved into the past the grace window of my kids having breakfast and giving us a chance to talk. So let's wrap things up. Let's bring it back to the BRCs and the services. How can folks connect if they are business owners and in need of help, or perhaps if just local citizens listening wanting to learn more about how they can help local businesses? Are there places that you would direct them?
So. The easiest way to go is to our website at clackamasbusiness.org, and that will allow you to start the process and decide which city you're in, because again, multiple cities in Clackamas County. And then, of course, you can always call any individual chamber, the Oregon City Chamber, at 503-656-1619. We're always here to answer the call and at least get the process started.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Anything to add before you go?
Well, yes. I wish we'd talked about that one. I think one more thing, because I spearheaded the social media part of this, trying to get people aware of it on Facebook and other places. We did get a few comments from people saying it was a little bit too little too late. Which I think is a horrific attitude to have, but this isn't the first campaign that we're doing to help businesses. It will not be the last. We're going to be here as long as this pandemic is here, and we have been here. So we're here to help.
Great.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for your time today and your work helping our local businesses. Like I said, we're definitely there. I think a lot of our listeners are there. We want to be in the trenches helping, you know, as this new year starts and things are hopefully trending upward. We definitely want to keep our Main Street and our mom and pop shops and our local stores alive. So thank you guys for helping make that a little easier for us.
Thank you for everything you do, Tyler. Can be first. What a podcast.
Thank you. All right, take care. And again, Happy New Year. Good riddance to 2020.
Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with three realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor. So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was going to go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate, and we got in a carriage ride with the horse, and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months. Sometimes it's a couple years, sometimes it's a lifetime. I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me. Three generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life.
How can people find you?
How can they not, really? We have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
Police Beat for the weeks of October 27th through November 9th. October 27th, there was a report of fraud after a caller posing as a police officer demanded a victim send money electronically to avoid facing criminal charges. Something you should know about cops is they don't demand to get paid without getting fired. report of identity theft after an unknown person transferred money out of a victim's account. On October 28th, 6:41 a.m., report of a hit-and-run damage to a perfectly innocent parked vehicle. Officers located and contacted the hit-and-run driver. They better pay those fines. Innocent cars being hit. At 10:33 p.m., following a traffic stop, the driver was arrested for assault on a public safety officer, felon in possession of a restricted and concealed weapon, and let's just add a little bit of frosting on top of this cake, possession of methamphetamine, because what's not better than breaking the law, but breaking the law with a bunch of illegal substances. On October 29th at 8:19 a.m., report of an unknown person entering an unlocked vehicle. Nothing was reported stolen, but it's still creepy. Lock your cars. At 6:16 p.m., following a traffic stop, the driver was arrested for attempting to elude a police officer in a vehicle and on foot, theft of stolen property, criminal mischief, and possession of methamphetamine. Of course there was. On October 30th at 7:56 p.m., a driver was arrested for DUI. That's it. On October 31st at 1:24 a.m., response to a domestic disturbance. At 9:04 p.m., a driver was arrested for DUI, resisting arrest, and interfering with a police officer. Peace officer. On November 1st at 3:08 a.m., a driver was arrested for DUI reckless driving. And at 11:25 a.m., an uninsured vehicle with an expired registration was impounded. On November 2nd at 12:30 p.m., response to a report of domestic assault. On November 3rd at 11 a.m., driver was arrested for DUI. On November 4th at 1:46 a.m., a transient was arrested on an outstanding warrant of theft and possession of methamphetamine. At 7:15 a.m., report of a hit-and-run damage to a vehicle in a parking lot. At 7:45 a.m., report of an unlocked vehicle being ransacked overnight. And at 11, we just ended the day, driver was arrested for DUI. On November 5th at 10:43 a.m., a driver was cited and released for her third violation of operating a motor vehicle while using a mobile communications device. Stop talking on your phone while you drive. On November 6th at 8:11 a.m., report of theft of a catalytic converter from a vehicle. It's a very specific thing to steal from someone, but, you know, stealing is stealing. You're just going to do it and just whatever. At 10:43 a.m., following a pursuit, a driver operating an unregistered vehicle, was arrested for attempting to elude a police officer, reckless driving, reckless endangering, and let's just add some icing. Let's just put it on. A little bit of cherry on there. Possession of methamphetamine. On November 7th at 1:08 a.m., a driver was arrested for DUI, multiple outstanding warrants, and reckless driving. At 1:14 p.m., report of fraud after a victim provided money to a person posing as a rental property landlord. If they ain't your landlord, then they're probably not your landlord. Maybe just keep track of that. On November 8th at 3:50 a.m., response to a domestic disturbance. At 10:54, an uninsured vehicle was impounded. And at 8 p.m., following a traffic stop, the suspended driver was arrested for possession of a controlled substance. And the passenger was arrested for possession and distribution of heroin and methamphetamine. So, just all around good people. Finally, on November 9th at 1:55 a.m., a motorcycle rider weaving into oncoming traffic eluded a police officer in heavy fog. And at 9:10, following a pursuit of theft suspects, the driver was arrested for attempting to elude a police officer and reckless driving, and a second individual was arrested on two outstanding warrants from Clackamas County and the Oregon State Parole Board, and for theft and distribution of that good old can be icing and cherry on top, methamphetamine.
Hey, Frankie, you okay? You seem kind of down.
Yeah, just bummed. Miss going to the Wild Hair. I know you can still get takeout and all, but it's just not the same.
Well, you know they're open again, right?
What?
Yeah, they've been open for a while now. Don't you cover, like, the news?
Hey, I'm only human, okay?
Okay. Well, I can tell you that the Wild Hare and their amazing staff are thrilled to be open again for delicious meals and fun times. They are strictly following all the recommended safety guidelines, and they have the only covered outdoor patio in Canby, with lots of tables spaced 6 feet apart and umbrellas also spaced 6 feet apart and fantastic ambiance. And hey, if you're still more comfortable with carryout, they can hook you up there too. Find their menu and other information online at thewildhairsaloon.net or check them out in Canby in Oregon City. Anything to add, Frankie? Frankie? Oh, I guess he left. God, he must have been really hungry. Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.